Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And hello to you wherever you may be in these United States. If you're somewhere around the world, wherever you are, I welcome you to Home and Family Finance. I'm delighted to host this program, which is dedicated to making all of us financially fit to be informed consumers. That's the whole purpose of this show, and we hope that you enjoy it, that you join us every week as we come to you with information that we think is most important to make those right decisions about your home, your family, and your finances. We all know that we don't know all we should know about being effective financial managers. It's just the way it works right now, and so we've got programs today, our guest today on the program that will help you. My first guest will be Caitlin Pitzker from, she's with the Kiplinger Personal Finance. This is an exciting time of the year because we're starting to plan vacations. We're planning to get away, and we're going to run smack dab into the rules of the airlines, and no one knows what those rules are and how you can make them work to your advantage than Caitlin. And then following that, another gentleman is here, Bruce McClary from the organization, the National Finance, what is it called, Bruce? Give me, it's the National Federal, no, it's the
National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
National Foundation for Credit Counseling. As you can see, he's standing by right here in studio. And we're going to talk about a very important study that they have just completed that says that listening to those who counsel you is effective in helping you in making those decisions that can, in fact, save you money, manage your money better. So the National Foundation Credit Counseling Services is important, and Bruce is here to tell you the results of the study and how it can be helpful to you. But first and foremost, now we get to Caitlin Pitzker. She is one of the fine editors over at Kiplinger. And as you know, from time to time, some weeks we have them on to talk about a number of things. But today we're talking about, you get to the point where you're making a trip or you plan it, and then you go ahead and buy your tickets and you do everything you're supposed to do. But then you've got to change because something happened in your life that requires you to make a change. But then when you call the airline, they're more than willing to change it, but the fee can be astronomical compared to, you know, just saying, okay, the inconvenience of it. But there's a way to some degree around it. All right, let's find out what that is from Caitlin. Caitlin, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. The moment I saw the email that suggested that you – I didn't first read the article, but then I got to that. But anyway, it said there is – how do you change your airline ticket without paying a hefty fee? Is it possible?
It is possible, and this is a lesser-known rule, which I think is really interesting for people to find out about, especially if you're kind of someone who travels in groups. Maybe you have some people in that group who are a little wishy-washy, or maybe you've spotted a great fare and you need to ask your boss for time off the next day, but you don't want to let it go in the meantime. There's a way to hang on to book the ticket, and you have 24 hours to cancel it with most major airlines.
Let me understand. You're saying that if I have a good reason, I'm able to cancel this and not pay the fee, or what? What happens here?
You don't even really need a reason. What you think is a good reason, they don't really care in terms of this 24-hour rule. So there's a lesser-known rule from the Department of Transportation that requires U.S. carriers and foreign carriers that are operating in the U.S. To either give travelers 24 hours to buy the ticket and then cancel it, or to put a reservation on hold at the quoted fare for 24 hours, both fee-free. Now, this only applies for flights that are at least 7 days out, and it's for non-refundable tickets, but that's going to cover most of these tickets that you would be purchasing. Most airlines opt for that first option of giving travelers 24 hours to cancel a ticket that they've purchased. Recently, actually, American Airlines, they were the holdout. They were pretty much the biggie that was using the other option of 24-hour holds. They've changed their policy and joined the larger group now. So most of those major airlines, you'll be able to go ahead, book that ticket, check in with your travel companions. Maybe, as I said, you've got some wishy-washy friends who haven't made a decision, or you need to check in with your boss and really confirm that you can get that time off the next day. You have 24 hours to cancel. And what you may think is a good reason, the airline really doesn't care. You have this 24-hour rule to your advantage.
Okay, so this is important to know. So I make the reservation. on American or one of the participating airlines. And then I have 24 hours that I can check with everybody, make sure things work out. And if it's not good for me, I then can call the airline and either cancel or change.
You've got it. And it's also great if maybe you make a mistake. I know I've been in situations where I've booked a ticket kind of quickly, or I think I know my airport codes, but I guess it could happen where I type in the wrong code and look at it and go, oh, gee, I'm not going to Fort Lauderdale. I'm going to something with a similar airport code. And I look at my ticket the next morning and say, oh, that's not right. Hang on a second. And as long as I'm within 24 hours, and again, it's at least 7 days out, so not a last-minute booking,
right.
I can go ahead and call the airline. And the programs all have different names, but they're all similar, and they're all following this Department of Transportation rule.
My guest is Caitlin Pitzker, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and here are my questions. Are they required to tell you this if you call within that 24 hours?
It is in the fine print. I don't know if it's something they're going to volunteer. Of course they want you to travel. They don't want you to cancel it. But it really is to your benefit to know these things and to know what to ask when you call customer service and say to them, I need to change this or I need to cancel this. I booked the ticket, 12 hours ago or whatnot.
Yeah. Do most people know this? I don't think they do, Caitlin, do they?
I don't know. And actually, when I was writing this story, I kind of grimaced a little because I recall a time that my cousin told me he booked a ticket and he put the wrong airport code in. And, this was probably about 10 years ago. I didn't know about the rule. But if this happened last week, I could have said to him, wait, you just booked it. Call the airline. Tell them what happened and you should be good to go because it was on a major carrier.
Caitlin Pitzker is my guest, and I told you, full of information that you need to know about that can make a positive difference in your pocketbook. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the financial perks of getting older. Some of you are, I'm not, but if you are, you might want to pay attention. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Caitlin Pitzker from Kiplinger Personal Finance. As you just heard, there is a 24-hour out on your ticket, on your airline ticket, that you can change without paying any more or paying any fee. But most people probably don't know it. You do know it now. And Caitlin, my question is, what are the options if you're past the 24 hours? Are you just stuck?
This rule currently only applies to tickets purchased directly from the airline. It's going to be examined for possible third-party implications later on, so keep an eye on that. But going a little further out, more than 24 hours, your options do get pretty limited. I actually had this happen once myself. If you book a flight, let's say it's a 7 a.m. flight, you book it, you make your whole schedule around that, and then the flight changes drastically. I had this happen once. It changed by about 12 hours, if I recall.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I wasn't going to make the wedding that I was flying into town to attend because my flight was 12 hours later. I was able to call the airline and let them know what happened. It was quite a ways out from the flight and make a flight change without any fees or whatnot. And there is a pretty wide understanding for a huge change in schedule. It's not going to be, a 30-minute or 40-minute change. But if you're looking at several hours that have completely just disappeared from your vacation or your itinerary, or you may be facing a huge layover now of a day or two on an international trip, you can call and see if they might be able to help you out without fees.
Hey, Caitlin, and one of the other things, and I happen to be in that position where I can take advantage of being a bit older than some people, and as a result, I get a break on my ticket. But not every airline does it. Explain that to me.
These airline deals are usually people who are about 65 or older, but some of these deals that we'll talk about actually start a bit younger. So some of the airlines allow flyers who are 65 and older to get discounted fares on certain domestic routes.
Okay.
You typically will have to call to get these fares, but it's at least worth asking if you're of age to perhaps get the discount.
And you have to ask about it. I mean, they're not going to just volunteer it if you're booking by telephone, right? You have to say, I'm 60 or 65 or whatever. Is there a discount?
That's correct, and it often is only for certain routes. It's not going to be on every route or even on every flight on a route. It is limited, but if that's a route you fly, it can certainly pay off.
What's available if I'm 50 or older?
you're really looking at just discounts on sometimes hotels or other things. Really here, I think, is where you want to think about the AARP membership.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people question, is it worth it? Isn't it worth it? And I think where it can really pay off is when you're able to join at 50 and it's a $16 a year membership, you get those discounts that come with AARP membership. Mm-hmm. But you're not quite old enough to get the discounts without the membership because a lot of those same companies would offer it at 60 or 65.
Mm-hmm.
But you can start getting it quite a bit earlier by paying for that AARP membership on hotels and just different venues that you may be visiting while you're traveling.
And a lot of folks don't know that AARP really stands for Association of American Retired Persons. They don't promote it that way anymore. It's AARP as an entity that looks after folks who are 50 or older, but that's what they do. But they do it very well, and they have it can save you a lot of money as well. So you ought to look into that. I mean, that's just there's no question that it can save you some money. What else is out there? I know you had 9 points. And by the way, folks, if you go to Kiplinger Personal Finance and look up, you can find out some of the things that Caitlin has written about. And she says there are 9 different things that can make a difference, and that's just one of them. I love the idea that lower car insurance rates or beefed up retirement savings, all of those are available if you know about them, right?
That's right. And as you said, this article is on Kiplinger.com. It's 9 things that are going to be a nice little financial perk as you get older. And we're all getting older one day at a time, so we'll all be there at some point. Another one is cheaper tickets to ride. Perhaps you're visiting a city this summer, traveling about, maybe going to use their public transit system quite a bit. Some cities will let older adults take public transit for free or for a reduced fare. Most of them kick in around 65, and usually you'll pay about half price. New York, for example, St. Louis and Washington, D.C. all have reduced fare cards for people over 65, and that can really save a bundle, especially if you're using the system a lot.
Yeah, Caitlin writes about these 9 different things. You've talked about a couple of them. Others are cheaper tickets to ride, a bargain on national parks. You have to know about them in order to get them because you can't count on people just to give you the information. When we come back, we're going to be talking about one other thing that I think you want to know about. Companies adopting mandatory vacation policies. This is Radio America. I'm Paul Berry. Stay with us, folks. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. We thank them for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. And if there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please, you can write to us here at Radio America. That's 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Or you may contact me directly on the website at www.hffradio.com. Your choice, but we always want to hear from you. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as we always say, you don't have to be in the military to say, and by the way, you know what? Nothing like automatic save. I know. Oh, I'm going to save every. Oh, I plan to save every. And you don't. You find other things to do. So make it an automatic withdrawal from your paycheck that puts aside at least 5% of your income each month. 5%. At the end of the year, you will cheer me. You will say, Paul, you are great. That's wonderful. I've got X number of dollars that I wouldn't have had if I had not saved it. So save it by all means. My guest is Caitlin Pitzker. She is editor for Kiplinger Personal Finance. She's a heck of a great writer, and you can find her in the magazine by going to www.kiplinger.com. And the last topic, I think, here is something that I knew nothing about. Companies are now adopting mandatory vacation policies. What is that? What are we talking about here, Caitlin?
So believe it or not, and I didn't believe this when I first read it, truthfully, some employers are actually requiring their workers to take a vacation each year. They're not just saying, here's your vacation time, and encouraging it. They are actually requiring it, just like they're required to do the responsibilities associated with their job.
Wow. Why?
So a lot of it has to do with the culture that we're in. It's pretty hard to get away from work. I think we're all guilty of it. You know, your work is on your smartphone. You can take it anywhere. You can answer email and calls anywhere. And employers are noticing that employees aren't always taking that time they need to recharge, and they may just not be stepping away from their desk, and that can cause your work to suffer. And it's also kind of part of this larger trend of employers offering just different benefits to keep to attract and retain workers.
Well, it's very interesting because instead of just saying here is your 2 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever you have in a annual basis, they are now saying not only do you have the vacation, but you must take that vacation. You must get away. Don't answer your smartphone. If you do, don't let us know. But go get away and enjoy yourself or do something. Are they concerned about your mental and physical health, or is it somehow about their business?
I would say there's probably three things at play here. They are in part. I'm going to give them a little credit here. They are concerned for workers' health and happiness. Also, they're concerned for productivity. Think about how you feel when you come back from a vacation. You're recharged, you're energized, you're going to do a little bit better at work.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't all altruistic. They do want you fully charged and ready to go. And then also, there's just this larger movement of companies offering different perks. You know, you see it a lot in Silicon Valley, and the nap rooms and the lunches and the ping pong tables. But this larger trend of offering different and unique perks to attract and retain workers in this challenging environment to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say it because I remember when I was with the WJLA, Channel 7 here in Washington, there were reporters who felt guilty about taking the vacation that they earned. I mean, they really felt like, you know, they're going to think less of me if I go on vacation, or I just feel guilty about doing it. I never had that problem, but some people really do feel like, oh, you know, I owe the company and I can't walk away and I need to be there and they won't work without me. And this kind of knocks that in the head. I mean, it doesn't. It really gives them no reason to feel that way.
That's very true. And those people aren't alone. About 40% of employees take less than one-fourth of their earned vacation time each year. So there's certainly a lot of people out there who really aren't using their vacation time to the fullest. I actually spoke with one guy who works at a company that offers this. The company's name is Full Contact.
Yeah.
And they require employees to take a certain amount of vacation each year. And they actually sweeten the deal with a little bit of cash to help them do something cool with that time. But he hadn't taken a real vacation in a decade prior to coming to the company.
Wow.
So these people are not alone.
Caitlin, you're beautiful. Thanks for joining us. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Happily.
All right. It's our pleasure. Caitlin Pitzker from Kiplinger Personal Finance. Coming up next, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling's guy, Bruce McClary. I know his name. I know him. He was in studio. He's next.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
And the person that's going to join me here is in studio, as you may have heard at the top of the show. He's sat through the first few comments made by the lovely Caitlin Pitzker, who gave us some great information about airlines and some other things that have an impact on your life. The other organization that is important to us here at Radio America, and if you're a regular listener of the show, you know it's true, and that's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the NFCC, with offices represented all over the United States. And they do exactly what? Credit counseling, financial counseling, helping you make the right decisions. They've just finished a study Working together with financial institutions who support financial education. And the study was designed to find out how important or what impact does credit counseling have on you? In other words, can it make a positive difference in your life, or is it just something that sounds good but is a waste of time? Well, folks, what they found out is that it's not a waste of time, and no one knows it any better than our Vice President of Communications, Bruce McClary, who's here in studio with me. Bruce, this was interesting because this was not just about we did a study. This was about results. This is about what we do. This is the heart of what you're about and the impact of that. What did you find out?
Well, Paul, we found out a lot. And first of all, we've always been saying, you know, we've been out there telling people, look, nonprofit credit counseling works. And we have a lot of people, millions of people that we've helped throughout the country that can testify to that. But this study is very unique, and it's the first of its kind. It's a scientifically conducted independent research project that was conducted by researchers from The Ohio State University.
Right.
And it uses a control group against those who went through the counseling program. And what it does is it puts numbers to what we've been saying all along, that financial education and nonprofit credit counseling work, and here's the impact. And there were some key significant areas of that where people experienced a major difference in their personal finances just after a short period of time being in the program.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so that people understand, when we talk about control, you shoot two group of people about the same amount. One group was controlled. They were in part of the study. They were being counseled. They were in that. And then there's another group of folks out there on their own, just do the best you can. But same period of time, about the same, everything else was the same. And what you found out is that there was a tremendous difference in terms of how people react and respond once they understand how to be good credit managers, how to be good financial managers.
Exactly. And this was specific to our Sharpen Your Financial Focus program, which you can find out more about at sharpentoday.org. And it's a three-step program, so people go through and they take a financial assessment online that gives them kind of a temperature check of where they are with their personal finances. The second step of the program gives them access to a counselor, a certified NFCC credit counselor who can talk with them and work with them directly about their own specific financial needs, and then give them some options to resolve their situation. Then there is a third step of ongoing financial education and counseling as they go through the program, whatever remedy they choose to work on their personal finances. And the results are significant. People that go through the program have a lower balance ratios on their credit, so they have more available liquidity, which creditors like to call spendability.
Right.
There's also a change in revolving debt, significant drops in revolving debt. The people going through the program, just after 18 months following counseling, the Sharpen clients decreased their revolving debt by nearly $6,000.
Wow.
So that's a significant
amount
of progress paying down the debt. And their overall debt levels, not just with revolving debt. Revolving debt is infamous for being the higher interest rate
right.
debt.
Mm-hmm.
But people have other debt too. They have their mortgage payments, their car loans, all the other debt. During the 18 months after counseling, the Sharpen clients decreased their total debt by almost $9,000. So
that's amazing. It's just and by the way, the steps that Bruce illuminated here are the same steps that the counseling that the NFCC goes through if you called or said, I need help. I mean, there's nothing different, except what was different here is that you monitored this. But if I were to call you, you would probably and say, I need some help. You would take me through those same steps, would you not?
Exactly, exactly. And I think the benefit of the Sharpen program is that it adds some additional functionality to the counseling process. So there is the self-assessment. There is access to additional support through online workshops or financial education following the counseling. And, of course, those who go through the program, whether they go through Sharpen or whether they contact the NFCC just by going to nfcc.org and getting straight in touch with the NFCC, they're getting in touch with the same counselors that are working through the Sharpen program. So it's that same advice. And the benefits are significant. Again, the changes in the debt levels, the improvements in their credit scores, which also some significant changes there. just overwhelming. And people's own confidence in their ability to make the right financial decisions, there was some significant improvement there. A lot of people felt better about their financial decisions. They felt better about their financial future and their ability to reach financial goals after these changes kicked in.
And let me, folks, some of you are like me and saying, hey, look, this is not going to really make any difference. I mean, I'm doing the best I can. But more likely than not, the best you can do is not good enough because we really don't know how to manage ourselves. We just are not financially fit. We'd like to think of ourselves, but over 67% in a recent poll done for another agency found out that 67% or more, and I think this was the PricewaterhouseCoopers study, this didn't really, when they got right down to telling the truth, folks, they just didn't know what the heck they were doing. We manage our money, and we are never properly trained. We just don't understand all the nuances and all the things that we should know. And that's what the National Foundation for Credit Union for Credit Counseling is about, is to fill in those gaps, to say, no, they're not going to call you stupid. Nobody's going to, oh, you dummy. Nobody's going to say you're a dummy. What they're going to say is, look, you need some help. And Bruce's agency is designed to do just that. And when I come back, I'm going to talk more about who they are and where you can find them. This is Home and Family Finance here on the Radio America Network. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Bruce McClary. He is Senior Vice President for Communication for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Now, they released the results of an independent study, impact study of, what they did was they went back and said, here's what we're doing. We think what we're doing does this. We think it's going to make a difference. But we don't really have proof, scientific proof of what we do. And Bruce, this study was the first of its kind ever done that you know, right?
There's never been another independent scientifically conducted research project like this about the impact of financial education and credit counseling in the nonprofit sector ever. There have been some studies that have come close.
Sure.
There was one it was in 2002,
okay,
that compared the effectiveness of in-person counseling to that delivered over the telephone or the internet, but yeah. it wasn't apples to apples when it comes to this.
Let me just give you a little bit of background because I say these names and I want you to know this: the NFCC, which is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, was founded back in 1951. So this is no Johnny come lately to the arena, folks. They've been around for a long time. It's the nation's first and largest nonprofit dedicated to improving people's financial well-being. They have 600 member offices serving 50 states and Puerto Rico. And you use certified – well, who are the people that I'm going to find when I walk in your door?
Well, the people that are working with our member agencies, the counselors that are there, they're certified. They're certified by the NFCC. And many of them are certified as credit counselors and budget counselors, and there's a process that they have to go through. Many of them come to the NFCC with a financial background in lending or consumer finance, so they already have that base knowledge. We provide a certification process that makes sure that they're ready to counsel and advise people on the different options that they have to resolve their financial issues. And we take it a step further. We also have a housing counseling certification for those agencies that are also providing HUD-approved housing mm-hmm. counseling. Mm-hmm. And so that makes sure that the person you're dealing with can work with you on issues of foreclosure or first-time homebuyer issues that you might be facing as well.
And you're nationwide. I mean, we're not just talking about one small area of the country. I can find somebody that can help me anywhere in the U.S.
Yeah, we have nearly 600 locations all across the United States serving all 50 states and Puerto Rico.
Let me tell you what's wrong with this, okay? And I got to be honest with you. I'm in debt. I'm having difficulty. Now you want me to come out to the counseling and look, it's going to cost me money to do this. I mean, why am I going to – I'm only going to go deeper in debt, Bruce, because I got to come in there and say, look, help me, and maybe you can give me help, but I can't afford it.
Well, all the services that are provided by NFCC member agencies are offered at low or no cost to
the
consumer.
Shut up, as my business.
So, I will not. So, they're offered at low or no cost to the consumer. And if you look at the, again, if you look at the impact study that was just conducted and the change in people's personal finance, even when there is a small fee just for the counseling session or just for going through a debt management program, the benefits of going through the program, you will make significant financial gains in other areas that will definitely make it worthwhile.
Yeah. And that's what your study showed. I mean, you found out in almost and it's just – it's here now. You have it. Mm-hmm. In almost every area, folks, the difference in terms of what happens when they when you go through this – let me give you some numbers again just so that if in case you missed it. 67% say the program helped them better manage their money. 68% say it helped them set financial goals. 70% improved their overall financial confidence, and 73% are paying their debts more consistently. That is phenomenal, Rison. It really is.
Yeah, and that, and I want to go back to that 70% financial confidence figure because that confidence is not misplaced confidence. They have learned something by going through the financial education and going through the counseling and working with a financial professional. So those 70% that say they're more confident, well, they've got good reason to be because they've learned some really important things about personal financial management from the professionals that know best.
And they can go back as much as they need. I mean, it's not just a one and done here.
It's not a one and done. This is something that continues. It's a continuing process. And, you know, financial working with your own personal finances and managing money, there are things you learn every day. Nobody just learns something and then can walk away and say, okay, I know it all and I'm going to do this forever. Things change. Circumstances change. So having the availability of a counselor who you can go back to as your life circumstances change and as you're working to meet your financial goals, I mean, that's something that's a tremendous resource. And the people that go through the NFCC counseling programs, they have that.
Look, we're not going to make you NFCC doesn't proclaim to make you a financial genius. They're not going to make you, the most knowledgeable person when you go through the process. But what they are going to do, and by the way, we all have needs here. We just don't learn the things that we – where are you going to learn it? Most of us graduate from high school. We can't balance our checkbook. I'm talking – and you know it's true. You know you can't even figure that out, or if you could, you don't want to. You've got so many things going on in your life. Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. I think we ought to make sure that people have a solid financial background when they come out of high school. We still aren't doing that, even though we know that every person that graduates is going to be a consumer, is going to go out and spend their money. And yet we don't require that they learn to be effective consumers, Bruce.
Well, and many of the people that are graduating high school are going to be borrowing a lot of money to go to college, and that's a significant amount of debt that right now we're seeing that people can't manage. There's so many people that are defaulting on student loan debt. There's so many people that are just struggling to make their payments. And even those who are able to make their payments are struggling to survive in other areas. They're having trouble, keeping the lights on and putting food on the table just because of the significant amount of debt they borrowed. But having a base of financial education in high school can maybe more adequately prepare people to make those financial decisions they're moving into college so they don't overborrow.
That's right. Maybe I need to wait a year. I mean, once you have a pretty good financial understanding of what you're doing, you can say, I just can't afford to go to this Ivy League school. I got to go to a state school or to a community school. Decisions that you have to make, and it's important to have a background for that.
Exactly, and you make some significant financial decisions early in your adult life, so you have to be prepared for that. Otherwise, you're going to fall flat on your face.
My guest is Bruce McCleary from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Folks, this is just basic human stuff that makes a difference in your life. Not only, but when we come back, we're talking about a lifetime, because you can scar yourself in a way that you can't recover from. Or can you? When we come back, we'll ask Bruce about that as well. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Brooke McCleary from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. We're talking about a new study that is just, it is a rave, because what they can prove to you now is that if you are willing to spend a little bit of time and even less money to go through their training when you need it or their counseling, it can make a positive difference in your life in almost every aspect. Bruce, one of the things that I get more letters about or calls is student debt. I get it from the students who are in debt who can't get a job. I get it from the parents who are tied to their loans because they what do you call it when you sign? That there's a term for that.
Co-signing,
folks. And you know who you are out there, and you know many of us have done it, including me. So look, I'm not out of this picture. I'm in this. I had three kids who graduated from college. I co-signed for each one of their loans as was needed, and it is not easy. And so it can affect your credit. And somebody says, oh, my God, I'm not even I'm just out of college and I'm in debt. I haven't paid. My credit is bad and nothing can be done about it. That's not true, is it?
No, it's if you feel like you're trapped and you've got bad credit and you're having trouble with your student loan debt, you can get help. And the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, offers ways for you to get help, not just with your credit card debt and housing, which most people typically associate with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. But you can also get help with your student loan debt and the decisions you have to make to try to get control of that. And if you're faced, as so many college students are, so many graduates are, if you're faced with an insurmountable amount of debt that you're struggling to repay, it's a good idea to contact somebody like the NFCC where you can have someone sit down and walk you through your options and make sure they fit your situation. So they're not trying to plug you into something that's a one-size-fits-all, because it's all about making sure what you can afford to do and what makes sense with your own financial priorities and your ability to repay.
Listen, folks, listen to what Bruce is saying. Look, I know it's easy. You're in debt. You can't believe it. So what you do is you just put the paper over on the side saying you'll get to it, or you put it under something. That is not going to solve the problem. They know you. They know where you are. They know how to get to your records. You have to do something. And there are programs, Bruce, out there that you don't know about, but the NFCC knows about it, and you can guide people in that direction.
Well, and that's the benefit of talking to a student loan counselor with the NFCC, is that you can learn about some of the options that may be available that you may not have known about. And even if you knew about them, you may not have understood all of the details. And they can walk you through and explain that, because it can be very confusing for people if you think about the landscape of all the different whether it's income-based repayment or whether it's a forbearance or whatever you're working out. And being able to figure out which one is best for you, well, an NFCC student loan counselor, certified student loan counselor, can do that. And it's a nonprofit organization, so you know you're getting someone
the right information.
Who's going to give you unbiased information and work with your own situation to give you a more comprehensive picture.
And I bet some of you don't know the difference, the rules that apply to federal loans versus private loans. I said that to somebody. What? I said, those are different. The rules are different, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And we have a survey coming out very soon that's about to show exactly what percentage of Americans even know the difference between federal student loans and private student loans, and how confident people are if they had to borrow the average amount of student loan debt right now, about how confident they are to repay that. And by the way, the average amount of student loan debt per student right now is about $30,000.
And you haven't even gotten your first real job yet.
You have no savings, you have no income, and all of a sudden the first thing you're greeted with is a mountain of $30,000 of debt.
Why do we have a system in place that requires you to get a good education, and then if you do, you go in debt to do it? That doesn't make any sense.
And you go in debt before you have any real opportunity to put aside a decent amount of savings. So that's the real danger.
Tell me how we can reach out to you and make sure that we are going to get, if nothing more, just good information, but probably a lot more as well. How do we do this?
People can get in touch with an NFCC member agency for counseling by going to nfcc.org. That's nfcc.org for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, or they can call toll-free 800-388-2227. That's 800-388-2227.
Folks, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. You have to initiate. Nobody's going to call and save you, but you can save yourself by using organizations like the NFCC dedicated to helping. But you've got to take the first move. Bruce, as always, it's nice not only to have you on air, but have you in studio with me. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sharing your study with you. Congratulations on this fantastic
study and its results.
Well, thanks, Paul. It was great to be here.
All right, folks, I'll be here next week, same time, same place. The whole idea is to help you become financially fit, making the right decisions about your life. I hope you will join us next week here on Home and Family Finance. Until then, have a great week. I'm Paul Berry.